Our scripture reading is taken from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. 1 Thessalonians. Why am I going to 2 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea, in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they do not please God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as also to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. So far the reading of God's word. The Thessalonians from listening to opponents, listening to those people who wanted to overthrow what Paul had preached and to destroy what God through his servants had established in that city, which was the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And part of the attacks that came from these false teachers were directed against God's servants. They were directed against Paul and his co-workers. And so a lot has been said by Paul about that, about who they were and how they behaved and the way they conducted themselves, all to refute this any idea that they were charlatans, that they were only interested in getting something from these people, of getting followers, or getting money, or getting prestige, or whatever it was that they were claimed to be doing. And so Paul lays his life on the line, and he lays his conduct on the line. And he makes very powerful and persuasive arguments before them. If he was after well-being, if he was after glory, exactly what did he get from coming to Thessalonica? He got opposition. He got beaten. Even in Philippi, even later on, when they moved on, they were followed by these people. They themselves were eyewitnesses of the fact that all he got for his efforts was poverty. And they could look at their bank accounts, we might say, and see how much money did Paul drag from them? How much money did he leave with when he came and went from Thessalonica? Did he empty their bank account? Did he put them in debt? None of them could say that. None of them. Because he didn't take anything from them. Others supported him. Other churches, that is, supported him while he worked in their midst. No, he wasn't after them. He wasn't after them. Was he after them to be his followers? Did he want to make a name for himself? Well, he wasn't there. If he was, if he wanted that, he would have been there. But he wasn't. He wasn't.
He went from place to place preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that people might be saved, that the people may be advantaged, that they may receive from God riches that they could never begin to estimate, that through the Lord Jesus Christ, they might become rich. But now he turns more particularly to what he said. The message, as it were. Moving from the messengers to the message itself. And so here Paul asks them to think back when he came. And think about what he said and how he said it. So that they may be able to tell the difference between the false teachers in terms of what they were saying and what he was saying. And where did his message come from? And where did their message come from? And so we turn this morning then, as you can see from these verses, to the subject of God's Word. People say that the Bible is the Word of God, but then they don't always act like that. They don't always treat the Word of God as they say the Word of God. Again, it reminds me of the Apostle Peter saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Lord, you're the Son of the living God." That's true. The next moment he's saying, no, we're not going to do what you say. We're not going to Jerusalem. You're not going to be crucified. I mean, that's just silly. It doesn't dawn on him what he just said a few moments ago and now how he's acting and what he's saying. And yet, sometimes we do exactly the same thing. We say, yeah, the Bible is the Word of God. I don't like what it's saying over here. I don't know if I agree with that. But isn't that exactly the same? Isn't that exactly the same? And Paul has to draw their attention back. Draw their attention back to what is it? What was the ministry about when they came to Thessalonica, when Paul came to Thessalonica? Wasn't it about the Word of God? That's what they heard. That's what was read. The Word of God was the central focus. How beautiful are the feet of them. It doesn't say, how beautiful are the feet of ministers. No. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. Good news being the gospel. Not just nice words. Not just encouraging words. Not just everything will be all right. No. That's not what the Apostle Paul is saying. It's about the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring the Word of God. And it comes in a variety of ways. It comes because it was heard by them. It was read in their midst. The Word of God has to be front and center. How important it is that we understand and value and cherish what we as a world and a generation enjoy more than any other generation is the fact that we have access to the Word of God. Paul says, "I'll bring my parchments when you come." Why do you care? Some of his friends. Well, Paul had a minuscule amount in comparison to what we have. We have all the Word of God. We have the completed scriptures in our hands and multiple of them in our homes. That's the privilege that we have. But the question is, do we understand how valuable it is? Truly, do we understand how valuable it is?
It is the means by which we come to understand so many things that the world has no idea of. And the world mocks, and the world criticizes, and the world tramples underfoot. And yet here is, revealed by God Himself, all the questions that we will ever have in Israel. There is nothing that we would be short of in terms of God's word. And so it needs to be embraced. It needs to be utilized. Again, putting it in the imagery of Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ. If we say, this is the word of God. We're making the same mistake. If it is so precious, if it is so valuable,
then we need to read it. We need to think about it. We need to meditate on it. We need to understand it for the purpose that it was given. That we might know God Himself, that we may understand what life is about, that we may understand who we are, where we've come from, why are we in this world, why is this world in the state that it's in, what hope is there for this world, what's going to happen after we die. All of those questions, the questions of life, that swirl around in our hearts and minds, that the world has no answers for, are given to us in God.
And yet, the question is it the first book in our lives? Is that what we think of? Is that what we partake of day by day? Not just systematically just wanting to read it through, that would be good for anybody, but with the right purpose, because it's the Word of God, because it's beneficial to us, it's profitable for us, it guides us and instructs us in every aspect of life.
Question would be, what do you read? I mean, what is it that you read? What is it that you watch? Who is it that you listen to and are persuaded by in this world? For a lot of people, it's just daytime TV. Sad to say, sometimes for Christians it's that.
Or it's radio stations. Not to knock any of these things. But how do you listen? Surely, the Word of God should be our common response. But not only are we reading, but more particularly for ministers, we need to preach the Word of God. That's what we're called for. That's our main task in this world, as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. That's what we need to bring. And that's what Paul is telling the Corinthians. When I came to you, I didn't come with all of these fancy techniques and the wisdom of this world and the sophisticated way that they speak and eloquence and oratory. I didn't come with all of those things.
Again, not that they are out of place. Not that we shouldn't seek to speak in a way that is able to be understood and persuasive. No, we are to do those things. But that's not the focus. That's not the focus. And that certainly ought not to be the focus of the church either. In order of priority,
it ought not to be, we want a minister that is, you know, exciting, we want a minister that excites people and speaks well and is good with the English language, or the other language we might be in. Does he accurately reflect and teach what is in the scriptures? That's our task. That's what we're commissioned to do as ministers of the word. That's what you ought to expect from us nothing less and nothing more. Not to be quoting, as I said, theologians here, there, and everywhere, or people of the day. Speaking about the Word of God. No way to preach the word. That's what Paul commands Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:20. Preach the word in season and out of season. That needs to be your focus. And we need to be careful on you know, either side of this. First of all, that we're not to elevate ministers as though they were mini popes in every church. In other words, you can't say anything and you can't question anything the minister says, because look what he said. They are messengers of God. And when they speak the word of God. So therefore, we just need to receive from them, and that's it. No questions asked. No, that's not the case. That's not the way Paul interpreted what he was saying here. As we mentioned before, he commends the Berean church for listening and receiving God's word from him, but then checking it when they went home, reading the scriptures themselves. Because this truth is far too valuable, important, to trust to one man's ability to be faithful in his preaching. So we're not saying that ministers are infallible. Absolutely not. The writers of the scriptures are. But they were under the special guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So when we preach, then we ought to be received as God's servants. But we ought to understand as congregation that messengers can make mistakes. And however nice they may be, and however well we may get along with them, it is not right and proper for you to let down your guard and not test and check what the minister is saying. You have to do that. Because the word of God is more important. On the other side, when ministers speak, they need to be careful that they preach the word of God. In other words, when ministers stand up, they are not standing up for a cause. They ought not to be standing up for some partisan position. That is not their task. Their task is to preach the word. And it is true there are some passages that are difficult to understand. There are some things that are difficult to be categoric and dogmatic about. And so we have to be careful not to use the pulpit for our own gain. So what we need to preach is what we are sure of in terms of the word of God. Let me say, there's plenty of scriptures that we are sure of. There's plenty of scriptures that we're sure of in terms of what they say and what they mean. Now, some passages, as I said, that are difficult. But the pulpit is not the time or the place to tell people that this position is not the So when we need to be sure that we rightly divide the word of God, that we preach God's truth, and that we seek to help and encourage and strengthen God's people so for service to Him, so that they know how to behave, they know how to act as they go into the world around them and experience all the hostilities and difficulties and challenges that they face day by day. That's what we're there for. We're to be shepherds for God's people. So what we have is that bread that has come down from heaven. So we need to preach, proclaim with authority the good news, the comforting news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what we're to teach. We're to be there as Paul was with the people, visiting from house to house, sitting down with people, helping them. Because as I said, some scriptures are not easy to understand. And those scriptures that are easy, in terms of the truth is quite evident, it's not easy to put into effect.
And the devil puts all kinds of hindrances and tells us, no, 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 you ought not to do that. And no doubt we have adults and young people that find difficulty with
certain passages of the scripture because they challenge what they themselves would like to do. So it's incumbent upon us to do as the scriptures teach, can't let it reason. Let me help you to understand. Look at the book of Ecclesiastes. Isn't that a reasoned approach to helping people understand that we need to trust in God and look to Him and only to Him and to be careful about the word? The truth may be simple, but in terms of receiving it and committing ourselves to it, that's not always easy. And you parents know that in terms of instructing your children. You're instructing them in the right way, but it takes a little effort and persuasion to get them to own what you're saying. To live it because they want to live it. Because there are natural hindrances to God's word in each and every one of us. So we need to persuade people. Even rebuke people of God. But by God's word, not by your own authority, but by God's word. And even as I said in Ecclesiastes, forget not your creator, your basic duty. There are consequences. We don't want them to suffer those consequences. But not only does he speak to them about the beauty and the blessing and the comfort of God's word, and the gospel in particular. But also he stresses the importance of receiving as not only did he proclaim it in this manner, and they are witnesses to that, but he also comforts them by saying, you began well, because when we were thankful and glad of it, he says, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you. So the word of God is not only to be preached, that's one of them, but it has to be received. It has to be understood. In terms of what it is, its preciousness needs to be realized by the congregation. So that when that word is preached, they receive it with reverence and awe, as it is in line with the scriptures. And they are to receive it, as Paul says, not as the words of men. People of God, when we read the scriptures and when we preach the scriptures, I'm not giving you another option. I'm not suggesting to you that you take this into account as well. No, not at all. Like Moses said, today I lay before you life and death. It's not an option. Choose life, he says. He doesn't leave it to them to choose whatever they think is right. No, he says, choose life. Choose life. So when we preach, you need to understand that when it is in line with what the scripture says, it is God speaking to you. It's God speaking to you. And for us simply to turn a deaf ear because we don't like it, that's like turning a deaf ear to God himself, saying, I know you're saying it, but it doesn't fit with my worldview. It doesn't fit with the kind of life I'm living. So I don't want to hear that. I don't want to change. Well then, we're not those that do that. Because the people that receive these truths as the words of God are described as those in you who believe. That's what Christians do. That's the work that God has done in believers. so that just like the parable of the sower, when that seed falls on hearts that have been changed by God, it produces fruit. It's received by that soil. It's taken in by that soil. And nutrients are there that are taken by that seed, and it germinates and it grows. But when that seed falls on hard, rocky, thorny, and pathway, it produces absolutely nothing because it's rejected. And the devil comes and takes it away. So this, when we preach the word of God, then the kind of condition your heart
is in determines whether any effect will be brought about that word. It's not that it's different to you and different to the person next to you. It's the same word that is being preached. But one has a heart that believes and embraces God's word. Another heart is closed because it wants to do its own will. And it wants to listen to all kinds of voices throughout the world.
Just as Paul is warning Thessalonians of, don't listen to the false teachers. They'll say all the things that you want to hear, but it's the wisdom of men. It's what men have come up with. And James describes it a lot more accurately. It's the wisdom that is given. The wisdom that has its origin in the devil himself. And however dressed up it might be, that's where it's from. That's what he means by the wisdom of men. Things that we come up ourselves. And there's tons and tons of that kind of wisdom in the world around us, in our society. And you can hear it from on the radio, on the TV, in books. You can see it all around you. But see it for what it is. It's earthly in origin. Earthly in purpose. And it's earthly in terms of its power. It will bring nothing. It will help us nothing. It will keep us in our misery and in our sin. The devil has nothing for you except falsehoods. To take you away from the Lord Jesus Christ, away from eternal life, away from life itself, and to give you in exchange death itself, even as we see so clearly portrayed in the Garden of Eden. Heaven itself, Eden, fellowship with God, everything that they needed. But what did the devil bring with his lies? Rejection by God, casting out from the Garden of Eden and living in a world full of sin. Taking in what the wisdom of the world offers, allurements, seduction. So where does it lead? To the very glory of Jesus. We can see it in the world. What does the world to offer us? What proof does it have to the things that they say in the world? They don't work. They change from one generation to another. They change their ideas. They change their advice. And we see the way that they go. Sanctioning every evil that the world speaks of. And standing up in their crime, thinking they are the answer to the world. No, no, no. When the Thessalonians received the scripture, they received it as the word of God. To trust it. To change our lives according to it. Even when everything seems around us to speak contrary to God's word. To say, no, 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 don't believe that. Because look, this is what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. This doesn't work. It's impractical. It's primitive. It's old. Old-fashioned. We are not to allow the devil to tarnish God's word. And even less for him to get us to go against it. And to follow him rather than to follow God. Think about the Bible. Over and over and over again. Hammers this point home. Hammers this. This is the wisdom. This is the bread that has come down from heaven. Why do you seek for a bread that doesn't satisfy of this earth? It doesn't. It cannot. Don't keep running after it. it's God's word to people. And it doesn't matter how dressed up the people might be that present the other side. They're speaking the words of this world. And however not eloquent and with stammering lips, people are speaking over here, but they're speaking the word of God. That's who you want to listen to. Not be persuaded by the way that they dress and the way that they look. That's the way it is. We are so people that are so influenced by what we see, and we see all the world around us, and we see them having fun, and we see them look good and beautiful, and we go running after them. That's exactly what the seductress does. We need to ask ourselves, am I unduly influenced by those things rather than me? That's what young people do. That's what we do. Please God to do it. God to do it. And where God's word is heard, that's what we need to be attracted to. Now the Lord Jesus Christ used simple people, fishermen. But he invested them with a message that was never given anywhere. And they turned the world upside down. And their message continues to resound in the world today. But finally, it needs to be applied. That word of God, if it is what we say it is, then it needs to be submitted to. You need to change according to God's word. You need to make sure that no area of your heart and life is closed to God's word. There's no position that you can have that you say is non-negotiable. I have to come in with this position into the kingdom of God. I'm not going to set it aside. It's not possible to do. It's not possible to do. Just like that camel that's trying to go through the eye of a needle, but he won't take anything off. You can't get through. Every thought has to be brought captive to Christ. Because every thought that we have outside of the Word of God is from this earth. It's earthly. It's set against God's truth. You have a lot of those things in your mind and heart, and so do I. But we have to make sure that they are rooted out. Rooted out. However persuaded you may be of your position. No, it's God's will. And that's not an easy thing for us. It's a dynamic relationship between us and God's word. We read God's word, we receive it. It changes us. And now we read some more, and it changes us. We have to be going continuously, being transformed by the word of God from one degree of glory to another. Is that the difference? Are you self-consciously subjecting yourself to the scriptures and saying, Lord, here I am, change me. Change me. May we never stop doing that. Because the world is never going to stop trying to influence you. And so we need continually to receive God's word. It will come with power. It's not that God's word is the right course. And all you needed was to hear God's word, like how to kind of a situation. No. It's more than that. You just didn't need advice and direction. You need power. That's what the word of God brings. The word of God is powerful than a two-edged sword. It's the power of God unto salvation. So when you believe the word of God and when you embrace it, it has power in and of itself by the working of God's Holy Spirit to accomplish that change. You have to do it on your own. You could do it on your own if you tried. But God's word is powerful. And these Thessalonians were examples of it. They were a certain kind of people before the word of God came to them, and now they were totally different kinds of people. And ongoing, continues. The word of God isn't just theory. It is. A And each and every one of us that believe can testify to that. That over the years that we believe, we become different people. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away, and we are all things of the kingdom. How is that? How does that happen? Through the word of God. Through your interaction with it. Submitting to it, embracing it, thinking about it, meditating on it, and then beginning to work in your own life to challenge those things that you know best about yourself. And you know the areas that you are at odds with the scriptures. You need to concentrate on them and bring them into line with God's word, under the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because God, the word of God is what we're privileged to receive and hear and read. And as we believe in Him, it's that word that will keep us from the temptations and the errors of this world and the devil himself. And it's that word in the hands of the Holy Spirit that will cleanse us to such a point that we will be presented to Him like a bride adorned for us without spot and without because God, we have to wear with it. We just need to receive it. Our Father in heaven, once again, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can read it. We thank you that it's in a language that we can understand. We're thankful that it's perfect, infallible, as you have guarded it, as you have guarded the writers, the apostles and the prophets. And though it has been under severe attack down the ages, down the centuries, yet we still have it to read. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we will weather the storm even in our day and age. Even as the world becomes more and more anti your word, even in the Western world, the wind will stand for it. And embrace it with all of our hearts. And continue to be examples of the power of the gospel, the power of your word, to transform, and that we will be a witness to the world around us of hope, of redemption, of holiness. Father, we ask that you be our prayer and that you bless us further this week, for we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the red.